around it, he will.
It's the Skinny on Sports Podcast with Aaron Cowan.
I throw balls far. You want good words? Data language.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Cowan with the Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP.
Good Friday morning out there, Western Oklahoma. Welcome to the Skinny on Sports right here on 98.1 FM, the Sports Animal. Glad to have you along for the next hour as we slide into the July 4th weekend. Happy Bobby Bonilla Day. July 1st. Met fans. Only one I know is my man Jay Kirby. Happy Bobby Bonilla Day. We'll tell you what that means. I asked Jared what his July 4th plans are. What would be his ultimate Independence Day menu if cost were not an issue, which it obviously is.
Nowadays.
We'll hit some NCAA football. Man, another seismic shift on the way with the news yesterday that UCLA and USC both headed to the Big Ten. The jokes write themselves with Lincoln Riley being involved in that. But what does it mean for the college football landscape? Where are we headed here? Is it headed to just two mega conferences? Will we see four kind of mega? Will they stop at 16 and now let everybody else catch up? Does that mean the Big 12? Well, there's lots and lots and lots to unpack from what happened yesterday there. And then just 4 days shy of the six-year anniversary of Kevin Durant crushing souls here in this state, he requested a trade yesterday. Man alive. You knew it was going to take a huge story to get KD requesting a trade, maybe off the front page. And the college football probably did it, but still a massive story there. Lou Dort got paid by the Thunder. Mike Muscala returning as well. So we'll hit all those kind of NBA free agency talk right at the top of the show as well. 225-9698 is the phone or the text line. It's 225-9698. Give us a call. Shoot us a text. We can talk about any of those things or whatever else might be on your mind. Feel free to chime in at 225-9698. If you're going to be outside the listening area, a couple of ways to stay in touch with the show. Log on to KADSAM.com or download the Paragon app. The app has it all. It's got three radio stations. It's got the Penny News. It's got Big Elk TV and Paragon TV. Also, Skinny on Sports Podcast on iTunes and KADSAM.com. If you missed the show entirely one day, you can go back and hear what we had to say. Hello, Jared.
Happy Friday.
Happy Friday. Happy birthday, since we're not going to be on the air on Monday. Happy birthday, America.
Amen. Yeah, big weekend. Big three-day weekend. Got a lot of plans? No, we'll talk about food coming up, but
yeah,
you got a lot
I'm
of...
not sure. I'm sure I do. Just not 100% positive about what they are.
Yeah.
Haven't got told that yet.
Well, I like to be told. You know me. I like a plan. I like an itinerary. And I know we had stuff floating around. And yesterday I text my wife, said, "Hey, what are we doing?" And she said, "Friday night we're doing this. Saturday we're doing this. Sunday we're doing this. And Monday we're doing this." So she lined it out for me. I like that. So I'm looking forward to it. Not traveling or anything like that. Just staying put and celebrating with friends and family. And eating.
Yeah, that's what we're gonna. I mean, I think we're gonna do a bunch of that.
Eventually, I gotta get on the mower.
Yeah, I'm in that weird period where, you know, part of it's drying up. So.
Oh, I made a big mistake.
Do
last
you
night.
Go ahead and mow? Kind of clean it up a little bit.
I would say so, because we got friends coming over. You know, the heads have sprouted, so we need. I need to clean it up, because we're gonna get some water games out and stuff for the kids.
You know, the last couple of nights, we did something that I've never been a part of in the nearly 6 years of living at the house we're living in right now. You know what that was?
Weed eat?
No, watered the yard.
Oh, really?
I mean, our yard is so giant
that
we just kind of do whatever, you know? If it rains, we got a nice yard. If it doesn't, it's not the nicest.
Yeah.
But try to keep it mowed down to where then it's not a sticker patch when it doesn't rain,
sure.
Right? But no, we've done some watering of the yard the last couple of days.
Well, you know, we're on well water, so we can.
So are we.
Yeah, we'll water a lot. You know, try to keep it presentable. And I made a mistake last night. I had a sprinkler going.
Forgot to turn it off.
Yep. Let the dog out this morning. Look over. My heart sank. Oh no.
I almost did that too.
Oh no. It was on the side of the house. It wasn't like the front lawn's flooded now. It's just on the side because we sporadically move it throughout the evening, and that's just the last place it was, and we just flat out forgot about it.
I nearly did the same thing.
So, anywho.
Matter of fact, I got all the way back to the bedroom and then went, ugh, and I had to go find my shoes and put them back on to turn off the sprinklers.
Usually I'm good about that, but oh well, it happens. It happens.
All right, so, man, I told you yesterday at about, I don't know, 3 o'clock or so. I was like, okay, Jared, can you think of a time ever where the show prep for the next day has been so easy?
Yeah, we could spend about 30 minutes on on USC, UCLA, and another 30 minutes on NBA free agency, mainly Kevin Durant. So, okay, that's the show.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, wow, that was easy. I mean, I already had a little deal typed up yesterday, knowing where we were headed with the major storylines going on. Let's start with Durant. So, it's so weird that that's happening. I mean, it's always kind of happened around the July 4th weekend, just because that's when everything gets going. The draft happens, and all of a sudden, free agency starts. Always right now. So there's
well, the NBA really likes their fireworks, don't they?
That's right. And so the echoes always go back to that. But just 6 years ago, 4 days from now is when he announced he was headed to the Warriors. I think this move is really interesting because so they got together, they being Durant and Kyrie Irving, wanting to play together. They went to Brooklyn on purpose together because they wanted to play together. How much do you think what happened yesterday coincides with Kyrie Irving actually opting back in to his contract with Brooklyn? Meaning, was Durant sitting there waiting on, okay, hopefully he won't opt in, he'll sign with the Lakers, and I don't have to put up with him? Or do you think in some weird way, I mean, there was talk of packaging those two in a trade. How the hell would you ever do that?
Oh, my goodness.
To meet the almost $80 million worth of salary coming back in a trade. It's just
– nobody has enough equity to do that.
I mean, yeah, they do.
Who?
I can think of somebody.
Who?
A two-for-two trade right now.
Just a straight-up?
Just a straight-up two guys for two guys.
Paul George and Kawhi Leonard. Who?
That's probably two there as well.
Okay, who?
I was thinking about Anthony Davis and Russell Westbrook. For Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving.
The production about be the same, maybe.
Really? If the Lakers would do that, they're dumber than I thought.
Yeah, well, they've done some dumb
things.
I
meant the Nets. I'm sorry.
Well, they too.
But
a package deal
thing.
Point is,
that's hard to imagine.
Yeah, that'd be historic if that happened. And I saw rumblings of that too. But I think it's really a showing. For me, I think it's Kevin Durant saying, I've tried it with you, dude. It's not working. Time's running out. I need to end my career with some more championships. He wanted to be in Brooklyn for his business. Is that clear? I mean, and then he got his guy, Kyrie, to go with him because he wanted to be on the East Coast. Because what was the first headline you saw? Kevin Durant and his business partner have requested a trade.
Mm-hmm.
So he's going to find a place where he's going to win some more championships or attempt to. Be contending for. It just didn't materialize in Brooklyn for a lot of stuff that was out of his control, but the Kyrie drama off the court, and then there's the health issues and stuff like that. But yeah, I think he thought, you know what, this experiment didn't work with my buddy. Sorry, bud. Best of luck to you. I got to find someplace else where I can win.
So where is that?
I think it's Phoenix. I don't know if Brooklyn wants to deal with any team out of the East, mainly Miami, because they're in the East. Why help out a competitor? I think Phoenix, because I keep going back, and you know, as soon as this news broke, I'm all over Twitter like everybody else. What's the rumor? What's the talk? And somebody pointed out a long time ago that Kevin Durant wanted to play with Devin Booker in Oklahoma City. He was trying to push Oklahoma City to get him, and of course it didn't happen. But they were teammates on Team USA in the Olympics. I think that's where he wants to be, and that would definitely help Phoenix, obviously. I mean, anywhere he goes, it'll help a team. But I think the pairing would work out well, and I think that's where he's going to push to go. So I think it's Phoenix. That's my guess.
What? How the hell do they trade for him?
I don't know. That's. I mean, listen. That's for the higher paid ups than me than to know. To
no, no.
That
here's.
Question.
I mean, I heard a bunch of talk yesterday after this all broke, and it in the. I mean, really,
is the trade machine on ESPN broke?
But do you,
how many
I
people
mean,
have gone there?
Do you really think DeAndre Ayton and Mikal Bridges are enough to get Kevin Durant? I mean, come on.
Yeah, it's gonna be a lot. I mean,
there is no way Brooklyn's doing that.
It's gonna be. Okay, when we got a haul, we being Oklahoma City Thunder, a haul for Paul George from L.A., right? I mean, he made it worth it. Presti made it worth it. Okay, we'll get you to L.A., but this is what I want. And they made it. He got, and it's clearly paying off now, we think, we hope. So it's going to be something bigger than that, don't you think?
The only reason I would say no, which I don't believe, is because he's 34.
Yeah, that's the pause on some on
and
some
you know
GMs.
it's an interesting thing,
and that's their counter offer too. Their counterpoint is, listen, he's 34. I can't give you my future for a guy that's going to give
yeah,
us four or 5 years max.
But here's the difference in the way this has happened so quickly in the NBA, because you know what used to would have been the greatest part about trading for him. He hasn't even started his new deal. His 4-year, $200 million doesn't even kick in until this year. So it used to be. In the NBA, that was why you'd make the trade.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh, I've got Kevin Durant signed for 4 more years. Yes, sign me up.
Right.
Now, there's no guarantee of any of that. Because these guys, the league is in, they're really, you know what I want to see happen? I want to see Brooklyn say, no, you're playing for us.
Right, we got to take some control back from the players.
Because here's they've got it all. They've got total freedom of movement right now because nobody will tell them no.
Right.
And they're making all the money. I mean, listen, Jokic is a good player. Is Jokic worth $61 million 4 years from now or 5 years from now? 5 years, 270? What?
Mm.
What?
And that cap's going up, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's all going up.
It's going higher.
It's just
going
to get more ridiculous with player control.
So I would love to see Brooklyn say no.
That would be kind of
unless fun. They get – now, listen, depending on what they could get for him, I know yesterday – last night, Stephen A. tweeted out, they're looking for two All-Stars in return. Of course they are. You know,
yeah.
It felt to me like Al and Jim were kind of – downplaying what it's going to cost to get Kevin Durant for another team. I mean, this could be the biggest trade package of all time for a player. And no offense, but if I mean, at least if you were Brooklyn and you did the two-player swap, you'd get Anthony Davis. You know, Russell on his last legs, but you'd at least get Anthony Davis. I mean, are you kidding me? DeAndre Ayton and Bridges for Kevin Durant? I mean, that doesn't even make sense. And now, listen, if Phoenix is able to swing that, more power to him.
Yeah.
But I don't think there's any way that's all that's happening there. I mean, you're going to have to – and that's going to be, to me, the issue is going to be what are you going to have to trade? Like, are you going to have to break up your whole team just to get him and then what's left? For, you know, to put around him.
It's going to be somebody that wants to – immediately go for it. Future be damned.
Phoenix makes sense because of that reason. Chris Paul's 37. He'd be 34. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
there's a lot of things make sense there.
Part of me roots for that just for Chris Paul. I want to see him get a ring.
Yeah.
Part of me roots for that.
So this is, you know, I saw where, of course, anytime any big name is available, Daryl Morey thinks it's his turn to do something up there in Philly. And Joel Embiid is pushing big time for it. So what I saw was Matisse Thybulle, Maxey, and Harris, Tobias Harris, plus picks. I mean, it's Kevin Durant.
I'm going to find the trade machine.
But anyhow,
there's so many scenarios. This could last all day just playing with this trade machine.
Yeah, I mean, where he goes is going to I don't know about decide. It's not quite like it was those 6 years ago, to where he went literally decided the title for a couple years until everybody got hurt out there in Golden State. I mean, there was no sense in playing those seasons, the next two, when he went there. It was just turn out the lights, right? I mean, it's over. I don't know that that's the case this time, depending on maybe where what we see. If somebody goes crazy and does something stupid, then maybe. But I think that you're going to have – man, I just thought they were really underestimating what it's going to cost to get Kevin Durant. And now how funny is it that according to everybody, his list had the two number one seeds on it. I mean, hasn't that always been the criticism of what he did the first time leaving here? Oh, yeah, you went and joined the 73-win team, most of all time. And, of course, you're already seeing the My Next Chapter, you know, stuff on memes on the internet, and that's funny, too.
The best one I saw was he is being traded to Live Golf.
Live Golf, yeah, I saw that, too. But, I mean, it's totally on brand for Kevin Durant to want to trade and want to go to last year's two number one seeds going into the playoffs, Miami and Phoenix.
Shocker, right?
What if, now, I know there's probably less than zero chance that this is true, but what if it was Oklahoma City?
Okay, I'm out of here. Come on. It's not going to happen. That was the first. I'll admit, I'm guilty of it too. First thought was, well, Sam Presti has pulled some strings and he has pulled out some fairy dust and he has pulled a rabbit out of his hat before in trade scenarios. But I think that door is shut. Both parties don't want anything to do with each other. Oklahoma City, with the situation with Lou Dort and, of course, the draft, they're moving forward with their future. Why mess that up to bring Kevin Durant back? And I don't think Kevin Durant wants anything to do with Oklahoma City either. There's a very small 1% less chance than that. But listen, Thunder fans, it's not happening. Even though part of you who yelled at him and burnt the jersey and swore him off forever wants it to happen, it's not going to happen. But the what if is fun. We always like what ifs on this show. It'd be crazy, and there's some talk, and I've seen some talk about this too. If he wants to completely pull a 180 on how he's perceived, he would come to where he started, a homecoming, if you will, a la LeBron coming back to Cleveland, you know, in mending that relationship with mainly the fans. And it would help his legacy, I guess, is what the stuff I had read and heard. But it's not happening. It's just not happening. So don't go into the 4th of July thinking it's going to be completely different from 6 years ago.
What would you think?
If it happened?
Yeah.
Part of me would be like, okay, well, looks like clearly going for it. But for the Thunder, and I say going for it, like, I mean, it immediately make them contenders. Maybe. I mean, it's a risk because you're bringing in a guy, a winner in Kevin Durant, one of the top two players currently right now in the league, mixed in with a dynamic SGA. We don't know. I mean, we like Giddy. We think his ceiling is up there, and we don't know anything other than scouting reports about Chet Holmgren. So it'd be a major risk. It'd definitely be an upgrade. But me personally, what I would think about it is, what my first question would be, what did we give Brooklyn to get a shot at this? Because there's still a lot there for the future for Oklahoma City. I'd hate to, you know, who did we give Brooklyn and what kind of the stockpile of picks did we give to Brooklyn just for a shot, a 3-year window here? So my question is, it'd be mixed emotions, mixed reviews on that. Me personally, I don't want it to happen at all. Not because I don't like Kevin Durant, but because I like the future of Oklahoma City right now.
Yeah, I like it better with Kevin Durant on it.
The immediate future, sure.
I don't care about later. Who cares? What has the last few years taught us? It's not as much fun if you don't have Kevin Durant.
And what were we just saying?
Challenging for the finals.
What if, you know, this is a player-controlled league. Contracts, who cares? Six-year, five-year, who cares? You're going to have maybe a Lou Dort who becomes a superstar say, I want out. Trade request. Trade me, please.
You might have that anyway. So
I mean, it's happening everywhere.
That's why you have to take, if you have a chance to get the superstar, you have to take it. Because there's no guarantee for any of this stuff. That's why it's almost disheartening a little bit. And the smaller market you are, the worse it is.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of the Thunder, Lou Dort, 5 years, $85 million, $17 million per season. To sign back with the Thunder.
Too big?
I think so. I think it's crazy. But the one, I guess if you want to go glass half full, you go like this. SGA is going to be here for 5 years, or at least contract-wise.
Contractually, yeah.
The Thunder have control of SGA for five, now Lou Dort for five more, Giddey basically for seven, because you're going to be able to sign him to another. You know, once his rookie deal is up, you kind of have those guys. And Chet for like eight. So those four guys, at least contractually, appear to be here for five more years. That's a pretty good start. Now, what can you put around them? The only problem with that is one of the, or two of those four going to be zero shooting. Giddey and Dort. I guess that's the risk you take. But, you know, I think in a real NBA season, in a real world, Lou Dort isn't jacking 7-something threes a game because you've got better players around and you're trying to win games, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not just free-for-all out there. And so I think some of those fears, hopefully, otherwise, him shooting 32% on 7 threes a game is losing basketball. That's a losing formula. So hopefully that's all just a lot of the things that we're seeing numbers-wise are more a function of the path that the team was on, right?
Right.
And what was happening. And when they actually start to play real basketball, there will be more of accountability, more of a discipline to what the shots are.
Without looking at the numbers, I think Lou Dort and SGA pair well. I'd have to look at the actual plus-minus and everything when they're on the court together as opposed to when they're not. I think SGA had a big say in this. Don't you?
Maybe so.
We kind of asked that question about draft, right? How much say does SGA have? I think SGA had a bigger say in this, saying, I want Dort here with me.
Impressed, and
said, okay, well, let's make it work. Let's find a way. Let's talk to him, and we'll make it work.
And there's part of this that, you know, guys like Muscala and Oklahoma City, that one of the things about being where they're at in the market that they're in, when people actually want to be here, you kind of got to keep them, right? I mean,
yeah, you got to,
because that's few and far between.
Yeah.
And so when you got guys that have proven something on the NBA level and they want to be here, well, you kind of keep them. And so I get that part. I get that part of it. I get rewarding some of these guys for being good soldiers the last 2 years. And then maybe, you know, sometimes players see things that we can't. Sometimes they see things that aren't there that we, you know, notice. But maybe there's something behind the scenes or more of a feel that those guys have that this team is further along than anybody thinks because they haven't really tried the last 2 years.
Right.
So maybe that's something with this that matters, you know, but the time will tell with all this. That's the whole thing. Right now, I'm scared to death that what's going to happen here in the next couple of years is Lou Dort is going to continue to be a defensive stalwart in the league, but shoot 30% from three, and now you're paying that guy $17 million a year, and now you can't, you don't have the flexibility to go get somebody that you need that can actually shoot the basketball. That's my rash first take reaction is, I like Lou Dort at 12 or 13. I don't like Lou Dort at 17.
Yeah. Yeah, but it is a pretty cool story going from undrafted to get this kind of deal.
No doubt. And we talked about it yesterday. Once the team opted not to pick up that contract, him being, you know, able to be a restricted free agent, or them being able to work on a deal. And I'm sure there was some sort of kind of maybe even a little bit of extra thrown to him for being for not getting paid yet. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Like,
Maybe
it's a way of saying, hey, listen, you've earned – people are going to look at this and say you're overpaid, but look what you've done on that old contract. You've earned a little extra here.
Yeah, and see, that's where I'm like, don't do that. Give him his 15 that he's – give him his 13, and that's more than one. You know what I mean? Like, it's where – and Jim will harp on this all the time, the loyalty in sports. A lot of times is a bad thing.
Right.
And this feels like a couple of – loyal moves. Now, Muscala is the league, the vet minimum. That's fine. He's a good player. I think he's actually a guy that can really help a good team. We just haven't got to see that because the Thunder haven't been trying to be a good team. But, like, I think you'll notice his value even more this year when they're trying to win games, especially at the start of the season. So, you know, it's kind of a catch-22, and sometimes you have to – when you're in a market like this, the smallest or one of the smallest markets in the NBA, you have to do things that are a little bit more unconventional, and the way everything is going with the current CBA and whatnot, it almost feels like Oklahoma City is forced into a position to where they have to overpay their own guys. Not – I mean, you know, the max guys are the max guys, but the other – the ancillary parts of a team – they have to overpay him in order to keep him. And that can be a good thing, but it can also lead to the problems we saw the first time when they felt the need to do it, and then they overpaid guys that weren't worth it, and then you had a big mess on your hands because you couldn't rework the roster enough to actually hoist the trophy.
Right.
But it's interesting. That's one thing about the NBA. July 4th weekend, they always bring the Thunder. Pun intended. Yeah, that wasn't even the biggest story yesterday, Kevin Durant wanting to be traded. The biggest story in sports, which came out of absolute nowhere, at least to me, to you, did you have any idea?
It wasn't as – and obviously we're talking about the realignment with USC and UCLA. It wasn't as shocking as it was last year with OU and Texas, because what was said after the OU Texas news broke and it was official, this isn't the end. So when that came up yesterday, it's a little shocking about how quick. It's like, okay, it's just a rumor, and then about an hour and a half later, it was, well, this is a thing. It's happening. It is happening.
Yeah, they've already been voted in.
Yeah, USC, they went officially tweeted it and everything. So that was shocking, the speed of it, but clearly, and then seeing some already hearing about how this has been in the works for a little bit, even as far back pre-Lincoln Riley. So.
Oh, Jared, whatever. You know good and well that the Big Ten called USC yesterday and they decided to make the move. Whatever. They were not talking.
Yeah. Yeah.
It just all came up yesterday after midnight.
Right? Yeah. They showed up at their doorstep like a boy asking a girl to prom. Will you come over to our conference holding roses or a jukebox above their head?
Yeah.
No, yeah. Yeah.
So obviously the jokes write themselves on Lincoln Riley because
the best one was Lincoln Riley better stay off Twitter today.
All right, so SC and UCLA headed to the Big Ten. 2024 is the season that they are going to land there.
Granted rights deal expires, that allows them. Yeah, that's why.
What an interesting thing in the Big – man, what about the Big 12? Okay, so we'll get to the SC and all that. But for the folks, think about in the last, 10 to 14 months. So I can't remember exactly when that – I think it was later in the summer, wasn't it, when the OU Texas stuff broke? right around here, let's say the last 12 months, whatever it was, a year ago.
Yeah, it was late summer.
So in the last 12 months.
No, no, it was before media days.
Right before. It was about now.
No, it was right after media days.
Okay. Yeah, that's right, because they'd already gone.
Yeah. Okay.
And nobody had any time to talk about it.
Right.
That's right. So anyway, immediately after that, that starts leaking out, and then, okay, they're leaving. You know, it's the Big 12 is dead again for the second time in this conference realignment talk. The Big 12's dead. Where can everybody land? Somebody give this school or that school a lifeboat, a life raft. Just 12 small months later, I mean, if you're OSU, or if you're Tech, Baylor, whoever's going to be left in this league, you brought in the four you brought in to replace, you know, to get it back to 12. But nobody in the Big 12 is picking up the phone if the Pac-12 calls, right? To jump there? The Pac-12 is in such worse shape than the Big 12. It's not even close.
I have to disagree with you there.
How?
I feel like the Big 12 might be dangling again.
How?
They're
They have all the power. The Pac-12 has nothing. Nothing. And here's what else the Pac-12 doesn't have. If the Big 12 says, if the Big 12 schools, all they have to do is say no, then what are their options? Boise, Wyoming, Colorado State? No, 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 no. Big 12, if some of these schools jump there, it's the dumbest move they could ever make, because all they have to do is say no, and then Arizona schools, whoever else is going to go, wait a minute, we lost USC and UCLA, and we're going to get Wyoming?
Yeah.
See you, bye. Big 12, here I come. The Big 12 has all the power in this. The Pac is screwed. They're done.
If this happened at the same time as the OU-Texas situation, then the Big 12, I think, could be in trouble a year ago. So I see the angle you're coming
from. For sure.
But the
Pac-12 still had UCLA and USC.
But I think of the large market of L.A.
It's gone!
Well, I know this, but the Pac-12 is, you know, on the West Coast, that area.
You're also overestimating how much people out there care about college football.
That's true.
And so the schools themselves that do need – everybody, the Big 12 schools care about college football. Except maybe Kansas. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
The people that care shouldn't move out to the people that don't care. What you do is you go, who cares? Oh, Oregon, they care. Washington, they care. The Arizona schools work and care for as far as geography. It, you know, there's a lot to like about that. And heck, if you want to throw in Utah, bring, you know, I mean, whatever. Colorado, eh. I know there's the tie back from before. But to me, that's the worst option that there is of those.
Closest option.
They're closer, but they're also a terrible option because they don't care. They fit with Cal. They don't fit with Oklahoma State. But I'm already seeing reports that the Big 12 had Bob Bowlesby. There was a Twitter. I didn't look to make sure it was verified. I probably need to look at that again. But it was just a.
Isn't Bob Bowlesby out of a job?
Yeah, and that's what's weird about him is Bob Bowlesby's not even the guy. So it was probably just a.
The new guy start today?
I think today was the day. But the schools, it was the Arizonas, Washington, and Oregon, which if you have a choice, that's got to be the ones you take, right?
Oregon's number one get.
No doubt.
If you can get them. And then Washington is a good get as well. And then the Arizona market, the Phoenix area, the state of Arizona, it's a good get, yeah.
And that puts Utah behind. I mean, Utah is behind.
Yeah.
Now, if you can't get Oregon, if say they or Washington, if they're
it's
maybe
kind of like a draft board.
Promised,
okay, these are the guys we want
right.
to get. If we can't get them, we're going to go down to these guys.
I think that's right. And so, but what even if, what about this? What if you just got them all?
That'd be something. You know who that'd make happy? You know who's thinking, dang it, BYU. You're geographically thinking.
Yeah.
You know, if this happened a year ago, I bet you, I guarantee you,
well,
BYU would have been in the Pac-12.
And so, and here, that's exactly right, because there's no doubt. It makes sense for them that way.
Right.
but they're gone off the table. And so that's where the Pac-12 is done. The Pac-12's only option.
I bet BYU would love Utah to be in the Big 12.
Well, yeah, but sorry, BYU, you're not in there yet either.
Yeah, that's true.
You're at the kids' table right now.
Yeah.
This really would have made sense a year ago, because that, you know, if this all gets announced at the same time, then it tidies up right into a nice little 16-team league with the 8 that were left in the Big 12 and the 8 that are now left in the Pac. Problem is, the Big 12 went out and got 4.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess, you know, they're kind of moving that around with I guess they count. Wait a minute. West Virginia got kicked out in this. But anyways, if you're the Big 12, you have to make this call. You have to make these calls, right? You should have done it yesterday. To Oregon, to Washington, to the 2 Arizonas. That'd be the 4 right off the bat. And if one of them balks, then Utah's the next call.
Are all these granted rights deals for the Pac-12 for every school ending in 2024?
I think the conference is ending. I think that's why that date
is
there.
That's why they're able to get out some. That's why I'm asking is are all the schools underneath that same umbrella where they could come at the same time?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Now, that is assuming. I think when you, if you're those schools that need to move, that care about playing college football, making that move, you're assuming, what, like 4 16-team leagues is what's coming? Because the Pac is done. The remnants go to the Big 12, obviously SEC, Big 10, and then the ACC. What if that – do you think that's the model? Or are we looking at like 2 24s, and it's going to be Big Ten, and it's going to be SEC, and it's going to be everybody else is at a lower level?
I think within 20 years we'll get to that, but I think right now within 10 years or less, it's going to be that first model, the 4 conference, 16-team conference. That one first. And then eventually, you know, this isn't going to stop. And you're going to see, yeah. Does it make sense? I think eventually we're going to get to those, to just the 2 super conferences. But right now, it appears the Pac-12 is withering away. And we're going to have these 4 16-team conferences around 2024, 2025.
Yeah, that maybe that's the one thing that leads me is the timing. If it all came together at the same time, then I think there's no reason to delay it because it's inevitable.
Mm-hmm.
And I almost think that may come with a totally new governor and body, and the whole thing is completely blown up and redone. But I think that's where it's headed. And so, with what happened yesterday, the Big Ten making the move they made, if you're the SEC, what do you do? Do you stand pat and wait, or do you get proactive and start this move to 20 or 24 now and go, okay, you got the 2 jewels of the Pac-12, maybe Oregon and Washington, you know, whatever, but watch this. And you go to the ACC, you look right to your east, and you go, Clemson, Florida State, Miami, come on. And then you need a 4th. And of all the other schools available, you know who fits the best?
Louisville, I don't know.
Our friends in Payne County.
Oh, okay. You're right. That'd fit well.
Oklahoma State, Florida State, Miami, and Clemson. Come on down. You guys can all come the same time as OU in Texas, whatever that is. Maybe this move yesterday speeds that up. It feels like next year is way more of a chance of it happening. I mean, 2023, I should say. Mm-hmm. Not the upcoming season, but the one out. You know, right. It feels like with that move yesterday.
A year from today.
A year from now. We're looking at an SEC schedule for Oklahoma and Texas. Mm-hmm. So maybe that's the SEC's retaliation. And I wonder how much that alliance that was made that kind of derailed the playoff expansion talks puts a burr in their saddle and they go, uh-oh, no, wait, we got to get out ahead of this and go for that. We'll just blow the whole damn thing up. And then you guys can fend for yourselves because we're the SEC and we matter more. I'm serious about that.
I'm wondering if they're kind of waiting back and seeing what happens with those West Coast schools, that the Oregons and Washingtons. You know what I mean? And then if we see a couple more announcements, schools going to the Big 12, then everyone's going to go, okay. You know, everyone's still looking at the SEC. They do every time there's college football news, they look at what's the SEC doing. Have anybody heard from them? Well, the more stuff, more shakeup happens, they're going to look – eventually, they're going to look at the SEC and go, what's your next move?
Right.
So they're waiting. There's a plan there.
I mean, if you're – the thing about this is, if you believe that it's going to the 2 and not the 4 conference model, I mean, let's say you're Oklahoma State right now. Even though it does appear, at least to me, that the Big 12 is so much more better positioned than the Pac to be able to expand and bring in and poach, okay. But even then, it, that looks better, but it's still not best. So if you're OSU, if you're, you know, I think the ACC schools have to be a little bit leery about, or at least the conference, about what happens next. But if you're OSU, are you banging the hey call the Pac-12 schools drum, or are you looking down south and east and going, you guys know you're going to take us eventually, just take us now. Why bother with the 5-year charade of 4 16-team conferences when we all know we're about to get to about 50 real football playing schools and everybody else is going to be everybody else?
Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy. I let me wrapping my head around the geographics of it, the LA market now in the Big Ten has both East Coast and West Coast. And eventually we're going to start talking about how they pair up with each other, right? USC at Ohio State, I don't know how that model will work.
Yeah, that'll be fun. How about this? How about a big noon kickoff in New Jersey of UCLA and Rutgers?
Well, that gets me ready for...
And everybody fired up about that?
Oh,
one?
Yeah. No. No. Is it true USC doesn't like to play in cold weather? Like, they will not go to Notre Dame in mid-November?
You know, it's interesting because that game, every time it's in Notre Dame, it's earlier in the year.
Yeah.
And every time it's at USC, it's like the last game of the year.
Right.
I don't know.
So
we're going to have to
what
now.
What do they do when they go to Madison and it's snowing?
Oh, there's...
In early October.
Are they going to play their first 6 games on the road and play their last 6 games at home? Try to schedule it that way.
That's part of the deal of them coming over. Like, okay, we'll come to you guys, but
you also mentioned Notre Dame. I mean, obviously, they're going to play a part in this eventually.
Here's a great tweet: we're 2 years away from Lincoln Riley blaming a 6-hour plane ride for a 20-13 Friday night loss on the road to Rutgers.
Yeah.
It was the plane ride and maybe his roster.
I'm just really – this one intrigues me more than even – I mean, just because of the ramifications now. And by the way, kudos to the Big Ten. they could kind of see the writing on the wall with what happened with OU in Texas and what that made the SEC. And so they kind of scoured around and they went, okay, who brings us bang and who brings us bucks? And those two in the LA market definitely do that. I'm a little surprised that they went with both LA schools, but not really, because they're still they still got the facade of you have to be a certain institutional level, meaning school, to be able to join the prestigious Big Ten, and haven't succumbed to the this is just all about football yet. And so I think that's why it's UCLA and not Oregon, because that was clearly the – I mean, if you'd have thought about just football, you take USC and you take Oregon and you demolish the Pac-12. They did anyway, but you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And then that's another reason why if you're the Big Ten, if you're the Big 12 right now and you want to have any hope of keeping what you're talking about, making it four major conferences, you have to do anything, everything you can to get out there and get Oregon right now. Because if you don't, then all of a sudden, I mean, the some of the other schools coming along with Oregon make them look more enticing, right? I mean, Arizona and Arizona State look a lot better with Oregon and Washington than they do even with Utah and Colorado.
Yeah, I agree there.
You know? And so that's – Big 12 is always – been kind of the reactionary player in this. They better get serious right now. Otherwise, we're headed to two instead of four conferences way faster than a lot of people would have believed at this time yesterday.
Right.
Have fun. No, as much fun as it is to like talk about real games, I think one of my favorite topics is conference realignment. I love conference realignment.
I'll be honest with you, I'm getting tired of it.
I'm not. It's so much fun to talk about and then think about what the matchups might be.
Well, that's what I like to talk about, is that. Not
yeah. Realizing it's all about the money. Yeah. We'll be back.
The Skinny on Sports.
What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
That was a very appropriate return.
Yeah.
For what happened yesterday.
I think that's what everybody was saying about 2:30 yesterday. What?
That's true.
Happy Bobby Bonilla Day, everybody. So if you don't know what that means, in the year 2000, Bobby Bonilla was owed $5.9 million on the last year of his contract with the Mets. They cut him and sent him away. But instead of paying the $5.9 million to him right then, they decided that they would offer him a 25-year deferred payment plan with an 8% a year annual increase. And that started in 2011, and it ends in 2035. And that ends up being $29.8 million. So they essentially paid him $24 million to not have to do it right then. Reason why they decided this was going to be such a great financial plan is because they were about to enter into some investments that were going to make them billions, and they wouldn't care about the extra cash. Those investments turned out to be Bernie Madoff's Ponzi scheme.
Wah, wah.
So now, every July the 1st, well, from 2011 through 2035, it's Happy Bobby Bonilla Day. $1.19 million every year for going away until he's like 70-something years old. So, it's one of my favorite days in sports every year. I did see a tweet of somebody going, now everybody making fun of the Mets. Bobby Bonilla would have made more because you don't understand the time value of money if they'd have paid him in 1996. Guess what? That wasn't the option. I mean, there's always got to be fun haters in the media, right? The smart Libby journalist.
I'm smarter than you. Yeah. Reply. Yeah.
Anyhow, it's still fun, and that's the point of it. A lot of that stuff is they just aren't any fun as people. They'd be a blast at a party, right? July the 4th, coming up on Monday. We will not be here on Monday. We'll be back Tuesday on a Paul Jones Drug Tuesday. What are your plans?
What are my plans? We are not, like I said at the top, we were not going anywhere. We are going to tonight. We've been invited to a pool party for the kids. Pool and pizza. There's that. Tomorrow, we are inviting some friends over, mainly for the kids. I'm going to get the water toys out, slip and slide, giant inflatable slide, stuff like that. Probably cook some burgers. Nothing major there. And then Sunday, have dinner with family over at Merritt. Probably pop fireworks over there, water balloon fight, stuff like that. And Monday, just hang out and probably get in the pool and watch some fireworks. So, I mean, nothing major. Of course, a lot of eating involved in all of that.
Yeah, we probably got a lot of the same plans throughout the weekend. Eating is not the most important, but...
Well, one would argue.
It's right up there.
It's up there. The kids would tell you, no, Dad, the most important thing is fireworks. Which, by the way, we have not bought any yet. Real quick, we got 5 minutes, 4 minutes left. Text us and tell me the best place to buy fireworks in Western Oklahoma or in the Elk City area.
Oh, wow. Are you a fireworks guy?
I do. I like to buy the fireworks. Of course, it's for the kids, right? Just to buy the fireworks and see their reaction. And, you know, I'm the only one who's allowed to light them at a safe distance. You know, don't want any Sean Wilson's happening. So I light it at a safe distance, and it's fun for the kids. But I also like to buy my fireworks from places that go to a good cause, if that makes, you know, like I know there's one over near Love's that's for Hammond FFA.
There's a band out here, Elk City Band.
Elk City Band. I know the
Cheerleaders,
West Oklahoma Christian School. I try to find a good fireworks stand for a good cause, you know. So that's probably the first thing I'm doing after work today. Go grab the kids and let's go get some fireworks before we go to this pool party. Because those fireworks will fly off the shelf this weekend. How about you? What's your plans?
I think we're going to spend some time in the pool tomorrow and Monday. That's all I really know for sure. I'm going to play golf Monday morning. There's always the annual one-man mulligan on 4th of July. Out here at Elk City Golf and Country Club. And it's going to be fun because it'll be a reunion of sorts a little bit with the tee box that I'm going to be on myself and Dustin and Justin, Twyman and Gunkel, that I graduated with, and then also Coach Hunt and Van Storm. It's going to be the other guy playing. Tyler could play except for he broke his ankle, thinking he was younger and more athletic playing kickball on slip and slides.
I've seen this stuff. That's dangerous, man.
So he's not able to play. He'd probably ride around, but he won't be a participant. Somebody somebody grab a drink. Hey, somebody grab a drink. I got a boot on. I can't walk.
He's really going to take advantage of it.
No doubt.
I like it.
Hey, Van. Why don't you drive the cart?
Good for him.
So, anyhow, we're going to do that. It's going to be a lot of fun. A whole bunch of fun for that. And then, man, coming here next week, and it's regional baseball time.
Yeah. And the KECO Open week.
That's right. Still spots available for you championship flight golfers. Championship only, not the A, B, and C flight. Championship flight, if you're out there and you're looking to win $8,000 in one day, hey, we're the spot for you. KECOFM.com. Get registered, get paid, and you can still play in that championship flight next Saturday, a week from Saturday, July the 9th is the date of that. So, yeah, it's going to be a busy couple of weeks, no doubt about it. All right. Man, we're already there.
We're there. All right.
That might have been the quickest show.
And who knows what's going to happen over this 3-day weekend.
Got any predictions for the first thing we talk about outside of our weekends on Tuesday?
Man, it's going to be along the same topics today. I guess the bigger question is, do you think Kevin Durant will be moved before the weekend's over?
Yes.
But through Monday. You think he will?
Yes, because okay. I think Brooklyn's too weak to stand their ground.
And the next question is, will we hear at least any rumors, substantiated rumors, that other teams are jumping conferences? More realignment talk involving other schools. I think there's a bigger chance Kevin Durant's moved than the second thing.
Boy, I hope it's the other way around.
Yeah.
If you're a fan of the Big 12, you better hope it's the other way around.
Yeah.
Because the longer they wait, the closer it's going to get to, all right, the SEC is going to say, all right, whatever. We're blowing this thing up. Because here's the thing about the Big 12 and the SEC. No one's telling them no.
Right now, yeah.
No one's telling them no.
No.
And so as soon as they decide they want to, they'll do it. And how funny is it going to be when all this happens and it ends up being these two giant conferences, and then when they go to name like the like their divisions, the West Coast Division will just be called the PAC. The middle of the country lower will be called the Big 12. you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Where everything changes, but everything sort of stays the same as well. You know what I'm ready for the most about conference realignment?
What's that?
Seeing the teams that are left out in the cold.
There will be that.
We're staring at you, Kansas football.
Yep.
Texas Tech. Maybe to throw your tortillas at, New Mexico State or somebody in conference. Have a great weekend. Happy birthday, America.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.
That ball is blistered.